This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Another short show today because we got Mariner baseball happening. Mariners on the road taking on the Kansas City Royals. So at 4 o'clock, we will turn you over to the pregame show. Coming up any minute, Dave, any minute, the great DJ Dallas will join us on the program. So we will bring him on as soon as we get the call. He's going to join us. Mike Keith, the play-by-play voice of the Titans, will join us, give us a little preview of this matchup this weekend, a little Pete Carroll preview at 3:30, and then Mean Text at 3:45. We always have room for Mean Text.
Always, always. You know, I got a Mean Text. It wasn't really a Mean Text, but I got a text during the huddle a couple of weeks ago. I think it was last week. I said DJ Dallas had the best preseason I'd ever seen. Is that outrageous? I mean, some people were saying, well, you know, what about some Cam Chancellor and, you know, and maybe. But
I mean, Cody Barton had the best preseason. Well, or that was training camp.
Yeah, I said that I thought he had the best training camp that I've seen a rookie have. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at, 225 all-purpose yards. He had a touchdown that he caught. He ran the ball. He made tackles. He had, I think it was like close to 80 yards in return yards, kickoff return yards, and then he got his hand on a punt. He didn't block the punt, but he got his hand on it. He did a lot.
Yeah, he's a Swiss Army knife out there. I mean, he's a guy that absolutely has he's got to play. I'm trying to figure out how he fits in the running back rotation because he does all those other things, which is what Pete and John love, of course, and he's got a place on the roster. I'm just wondering, is Alex Collins now the automatic backup? Is it DJ Dallas? Does his running style suit them to the point that they say, yeah, he needs to be number two with Penny being out right now? I'm going to be curious to see how the rotation works.
Yeah, you know, I was just, well, I'll bring this up to DJ, but I just looked at a website and, you know, fans were weighing in. Do they think that he could be the second running back? And, you know, I think a lot of people have become impatient with Rashad Penny. Almost as impatient as Bob.
I don't know if that's possible.
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate just because the injury part of it. And, you know, and it's not like these are – well, he had surgery, Rashad Penny did. But some of the other things are kind of little strains and pulls and things like that. So I get it. I get that people are frustrated. It's just a shame that he's never been able to get his career going. And that's kind of what happened with CJ ProSize. We're going to have to find that recording that has it has like a whole, it's like a mashed up 3 minute long Pete Carroll injury report on CJ ProSize. Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's unfortunate. It's coming at the same position now. They didn't spend the draft capital on ProSize that they did with Rashad Penny, which makes him, you know, more of a target. I mean, that's with that draft spot comes expectation. We've talked about it, whether that's fair or unfair, that's how it goes. If a team shows that level of confidence in you that with our first overall pick, there's a certain amount of weight that comes with that. And we'll talk more about that. But right now, we get a chance to speak to a man who we know we're going to see on the field and what capacity we'll find out. But DJ Dallas is with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. What's going on, DJ?
Nothing much. Just having a little bit of fun. Just finished up practice.
Well, hey, you know, one game under your belt, and now you finally get a chance to get out there in front of the home crowd in a regular season game. What's that feeling like? Is there nerves? Is there excitement, anticipation as you get closer to the game this Sunday?
I'm kind of anxious. I get anxious probably like 2 days out. So this is prime time for me. I'm just kind of anxious about, you know, we got a taste of what could be I got a taste of what the 12s are like in preseason a little bit, but this first home game, the season opener, I'm expecting a lot more. So I'm ready, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, DJ, we were just talking about how I think it's been 17, 18 years I've been covering the Seahawks, doing radio and TV and stuff like that, and I said I think that DJ Dallas had the best preseason that I've ever seen. I mean, you. You have to be proud of that. You blocked a, you got your hand on a punt anyway. That was the big one that stood out to me because that just proves that you can play all kinds of, you know, all over the place. You got return yardage. You had a touchdown. I mean, you have to be very proud of that preseason that you had.
I worked hard this off season and just, you know, trusted the game plan that the coaches put together. And I got Travis Homer in my ear right now, but I trusted the game plan that the coaches put together and just gave it 100% effort every play and just, you know, I can live with that. If I give 100% effort 100% of the time, I can live with whatever outcome is. So, yeah, I can say that I was pretty proud of my performance.
DJ, have you gotten a sense of how your role will go this weekend, being that Rashad Penny is dealing with an injury? So obviously it feels like that bumps everybody up. Have you gotten a sense of what you're going to be asked to do?
I do. But like I said, you know, I'm just taking it. I'm gonna take it one game at a time, one play at a time. Just trust that Shane and Chad and Pete will put me in the best position possible, and whatever snaps or however many snaps I get this Sunday, I'll be thankful for that.
DJ, I saw a website where there was a poll at the end of an article about you and your preseason that you had, and yeah, for what it's worth, 75% of the people thought that you should be number one, the third down back, and then number two, possibly the guy filling in behind Chris Carson. Is there anything about when you look at the Titans that that makes you think that do you like imagine yourself making plays against this defense as you look at the film?
So I'm a big guy. I'm a firm believer in studying your opponent. And just through film study, you know, they're a formidable opponent. Like they're a playoff team, a championship caliber team, and you know that's always a good challenge. And the Colts were a championship football team, but I just feel like there's things that we do that'll give them trouble. So I know Shane's gonna put in a good game plan, and Russ is gonna drive it all. So I'm excited for what our offense can do it against these guys.
You know, DJ, Dave and I, after every Seahawk game, we go through and we sort of identify the good, the bad, the ugly of the game. And it was really hard this past week because, you know, looking at the bad and the ugly was really nitpicking. It felt like a really complete game and there was very little to look at and feel like, man, they've got to fix this. When you went through film study, when you guys went back and watched the game, was there anything that stood out to you that you said, okay, we have to do this better, I've got to do this better, or any mistakes? Because it, as I said, it really felt like a very complete game.
I felt like the offense, the defense, and the special teams were all clicking on all cylinders and playing real good complementary football. But you know, there's always something to improve on, and you know, this week we've just been focusing on the details of our assignments and just trying to nail down the details so that we can play at a higher level and play even better than we played in the season opener.
Hey DJ, just a little football 101 question for, you know, for our listeners. When you get in the meeting room with Chad Morton, I think maybe a lot of people think that you're watching film like you're watching the game, but how do you go series by series looking at their defense, or do they have it cut up into different categories? Like this is their nickel, this is their, you know, short yardage stuff. What's the approach when you watch film?
So when we watch film, it'll be cut ups of, so say if they run like a 59 front or 57 front, it'll be cut ups for the different fronts, and then it'll be cut ups of the different personnel groups. So like say if we go 12, they might match our personnel, so they'll go just stay in base. Or if we go 11, they might play nickel. So then we go 10, they might play to dime. Mm-hmm. But so we just cut it up like that, just go through personnel situations and Yeah, Chad's real good about that. And then we watch the good plays on that they have. Like, we'll watch all the good plays of them making plays on defense. And, you know, in every good play, there's some type of weakness. So, like, you can exploit a team by just looking at their good plays as well as their bad.
Hey, DJ, much of our conversation during training camp and preseason was about the new offense and what's it going to look like and, you know, the play calls and are we going to notice a big difference? And some of that was, you know, how quickly are the players going to catch on to it? How tough will it be? How does it feel? I mean, it's only one game. I understand that. Did it feel natural? Did it feel like there was any confusion out there? Or has it been a pretty seamless transition?
Man, it's been so smooth. I can't even lie to you. It's been so smooth. The offense is – I love this offense. I'm not going to lie. I love this offense. Shane is a freaking wizard calling the plays and just having a guy like Russ driving it all and guys like, you know, Dwayne and the whole O-line and, you know, DK and the receiver group. Man, it just makes our offense all that more special. So, man, it's smooth. It was a smooth transition for us. And, shoot, I'm just glad that the product is on film now.
And every time now I picture Shane Waldron, he's going to have like a pointy hat and a little wand because that's the second time I've heard him called a wizard. It sounds like, though, DJ, I mean, does he use the right words? Is it just the way he explains it? Because it seems like, you know, listening to you and like Russell, it seems like it just makes sense to everyone.
Yeah, he like makes it simple so that it makes sense to everybody. So like even the layman can understand it, you know.
Hey, as far as your game goes, we talked about you kind of being the Swiss Army knife. You're doing a bit of everything out there. How much do you like, you know, if from the outside, being somebody that didn't play football, if it seems like one of the scarier things would be either a punt return or kick return because you've got, you know, all these guys coming down there looking to take your head off. How much do you enjoy that, or do you enjoy the return game?
I love it. I love the adrenaline rush that you get from it. I love, like, shoot, the hits that you take from it. Even if I don't take hits, like, I just like returning. I like football, man. Football is fun to me. I love this game. But no, man, returning for me, yeah, you get that kind of like your heart starts beating real fast. But once you catch it, once you catch the ball, it's just like everything goes quiet. I don't know. I can't explain it, but like can't explain it too much. You got to kind of let it happen to you to really understand what I mean. But it's like everything goes silent and it's just peaceful. Like it's kind of like a peaceful chaos, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great description. Hey, now that you got your hand on a punt, and there's a crazy statistic in the NFL. It's like if you block a punt, you get like a 90% chance of winning. You got a little taste of that. Are you on punt return rush, or are you campaigning to get on that special team?
Oh yeah, I'm on all four. I'm a core teamer right now. So
gotcha. Yeah. So how about the block punt? What do you think, man? Can you get one?
Yeah, that's always the goal. That's always the goal, and hopefully this week we'll dial something up and you know, get it done.
Hey, just quickly, but as far as looking at the Titans, we you know, we spent a lot of time talking about them, and you know, there's so many expectations with that team. They're an 11-win team from last season, and Dave's talked about, you know, it doesn't matter how badly a team played the week before. When you watch them on film, they always look like one of the great teams out there. Is that how do they look to you when you go through and break down? It's only 1 week worth of film, but how do they look to you?
I mean, they could have easily won week one. Like it's, I feel like the NFL is all the wins come from like very small margins, like whether it be like the score margin or like play margins, like everything here like is more precise. Like college ball is either a blowout or it's not, you know, or it's either like a good game or it's not. But their first game was a real good game, and you know, the Cardinals are also a formidable opponent. And I don't know, man. They're good. Like the Titans are a good team. they're a good team, and I just feel like if we come out and play like we played against the Colts, everything that's meant to happen will happen. But these guys, they're good, man. They're one of the best in the league, like you said. They're an 11-win team. They're nothing to sleep on, you know.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, even if you get a team that's like 1-10 at the time, the NFL, everybody's good, right? I mean, doesn't matter what their record is. But, hey, DJ, you're in the salad days of your marriage, right? You just got married. It's got to be nice coming home to that, and maybe just a little bit of a distraction away from football that's good for you.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
All right. I basically just made a statement there, and he agreed with me. So congratulations again, man.
I appreciate that.
DJ, we appreciate you taking the time, and look forward to seeing you out there in front of the 12s this weekend. It should be a crazy, crazy atmosphere, and hopefully we're talking about a big win.
Yes, sir. Rain, sleet, or snow.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks DJ.
Yes, sir. No problem.
There you go. There's DJ Dallas of your Seattle Seahawks. Not real verbose on the whole marriage thing. Just,
well,
yep.
Bob, my goal this year is to ask at least one question that entirely shuts down the interview. Who was it yesterday that I was? Oh, it was we were talking to Al Woods. And I'm like, yeah, you just got to take them one at a time. And he's like, yeah, that's right. Or, you know, or you could get the Ty France, you know, where you make a statement like I tend to do, and you get nothing.
Silence.
Total silence.
Total silence.
Two can play that game, tough guy.
That's right. Smart guy. Smart guy. You got to get the Fargo reference.
Next time, I'm going to give him the silent treatment.
Yeah.
Ty France. Good.
Well, our thanks.
My turn.
Our thanks to DJ Dallas for joining us. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And I was just curious to hear what, you know, because you've talked about, you could look at a team on film that was 0-8 or whatever, and you come out of that film room after a week going, man, we got our hands full with these guys. You know, it's easy for us on the couch looking at them going, man, they got destroyed, and they don't do this well, or this guy's not that good. But when you guys go in there and break it down with the All-22 view and everything, it's a whole different world.
It really is. You know, the one time where – and this was the late, great Nesby Glasgow – Nesby, I remember we were getting ready to play the Packers, and Tony Mandrich had been the first-round draft choice, and he was in watching film, and I don't know why. He was always in – we used to call him the old man because he always had a coffee. You know, he's like the only guy I knew that drank coffee, and, you know, when I was playing. And he was like, you guys got to come in here and watch this. You guys got to come look at this. And it was like a whole clip of how bad – Tony Mandrich was. And that is just the complete opposite. Like, that's the only time I remember. And it was, they're playing the Lions, and it was like the Detroit Lion defenders were like, hey, it's my turn. It's my turn to line up over Tony Mandrich because I want to get a sack, because he was terrible, man. And I, you know, he turned things around, ended up playing for the Colts later, and I actually was
played
a good
for a
player.
While, didn't he?
He did, yeah. And so, you know, good for him. But, I mean, his rookie year, and what was he, like the first or second or third pick?
I think he was the first pick, yeah. And he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he looked like a cartoon character. The guy looked like a building. I mean, he was going to revolutionize the game, and he was just going to come in there and destroy people. And obviously he had some chemical aid.
That was part of it. Well, and then, you know, but you know, every other time it would be like, come look at Junior Seau. My gosh. Or there was this linebacker in Pittsburgh named David Little, another guy who passed away at like age 45 or something. But I used to watch him all the time and just go, man, this guy is so good. I mean, that's what you see. And, you know, when you're playing an opponent and you see, all right, they, you know, they screwed up and fumbled the ball, or they threw an interception or whatever. And like DJ was saying, they could have easily won that game. I'm sure a lot of people are like, no, they got smoked, but. Yeah, it's different when you look at it on film. It's just it's a totally different side of what you see.
Yeah, this game worries me. This is a good team. I know what happened last week. I know what the box score looks like. But man, you look at that roster and you go, okay, the Cardinals did something right, and maybe the Titans just weren't as disciplined as they should have been, or what. I don't know what went wrong. But I just don't expect to see anything resembling that. I'll be stunned if this is a one-sided blowout with the Seahawks. I expect the Seahawks to win. I just don't expect it to be like what that result was in week one with the Titans and the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. I will be surprised, and maybe I'm putting too much pressure on the offense too early, but I'll be surprised if they don't have some success, some pretty significant success on offense, because – you know, there's six new players on this defense. And, you know, last year they were plus 11 in turnover ratio. They had 23 takeaways. Well, four of those were from Malcolm Butler, and he's gone. He's retired. So, yeah, they've lost a few guys that were, you know, some of their major contributors. And then last year, you know, they were dead last in third down percentage. They only had 19 sacks, which is third worst. They were 28th in total yards. Now, the Seahawks can't talk because I think we were 31st in total yards and pass yardage. So, but yeah, I feel like the offense should be able to have some success against this defense.
All right, let's take two.
Well, last night, Taylor Heinicke led the football team to a last-second win over the Giants and got some high praise from his running back, J.D. McKissic.
Hey, J.D., what was Taylor like in that last two-minute situation, just in terms of his composure and everything like that?
He reminded me of Russell Wilson. He was calm. He wanted to make a play. He wanted to do anything it took. Only thing on his mind was winning.
All right, so that's a pretty bold comparison, but Heinicke wasn't bad. 34 for 46, 336 yards, and two touchdowns.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty darn good, man. He made some plays. That was an entertaining game. I didn't really care who won. I didn't have a rooting interest, but it was compelling with the, you know, the missed field goal and, oh, there's a penalty and they get another crack at it. They make the field goal. It was, if you're a Giants fan, that had to be a massive gut punch. But as an objective fan who's just not rooting for any team, that was fun.
Yeah, it's like the Monday night game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't care who wins this game. But, yeah, that's looking at that defensive line, man, that guy Payne in the middle. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, he is hard to move. And, you know, it's funny, I saw the other day there was a quarterback up talking. It was obvious he was a quarterback. I don't know why. Maybe it was his look or something. And I'm like, that's got to be Taylor Heinicke because he's the only guy that I don't recognize. And, yeah. You know, I saw him interviewed afterwards. And, hey, also, how about J.D. McKissic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was here. Whenever we talk about guys, and, you know, we're talking about the running back position and, you know, Penny and all this stuff. I mean, whenever you talk about guys that got let go or they didn't resign or whatever, J.D. McKissic's got to be one of those guys that's up there pretty high. And I hear him, you know, mentioned nationally quite a bit. I think he's starting to really open people's eyes.
Well, the L.A. Clippers broke ground today on a $1.8 billion stadium that's set to open in 2024 in Inglewood. Hey, if a brand new stadium is what the NBA is looking for, I believe there's one of those here in Seattle.
Seattle's ready. They're ready. Whenever this league is ready to expand, they've got the building for it, and the league knows that. They have a history here, a four-decade history. So, you know, they know the NBA works here. It's just a matter of when they're ready to expand. As far as the L.A. Clippers, man, there's a lot of big stadiums going up in California, right? You got the Rams Chargers Stadium out there, and now the Clippers are going to have their own building instead of sharing one with the Lakers, which is what they've been doing at the Staples Center. So, good for them. I'm sure Ballmer will spare no expense out there.
Yeah. Well, and you know the other thing that's like you mentioned, SoFi Stadium. I think the Chargers are just like renting. They don't have any ownership in that building, and that's a big deal. But yeah, you would have never thought when the Sonics left that we'd get a hockey team before we get an NBA franchise back here. But that's the case, and I feel like it's inevitable that, that you know, there's enough talk and enough people talking about Seattle and what a great city it is and what a great basketball town it is that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
All right, Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, what will the first regular season crowd since 2019 look like on Sunday? We're going to talk about that next. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, will join us on the program, give us a little preview of the team that the Seahawks are set to face. You guys can text in 710-710 to the Mac and Jacks text line. We are done at 4 o'clock today, so we'll do mean texts at 3:45. Some of the texts coming in already, Dave. One from the 425 said, it's not a mean text, but it said, two things I thought I would see in your houses that aren't there. For Bob, I thought he would be in an MMA ring. For Dave, not a single Cody Barton jersey.
I thought they were going to say Worcester High School state champs or, you know.
Well, you've got a room dedicated to that school. That's just in another part of your mansion.
All I have is a plaque, really.
And that's
I don't really have and a T-shirt, basically. So, yeah, Bob, you have a karate shirt on, though.
Or jujitsu, whatever you want.
I'm sorry.
So you were going back in history and looking at last time these two teams met, what the offensive line of the Seattle Seahawks was comprised of,
and it's really special. I thought of you, Bob.
As you should. When you read this, you should feel like I was completely justified in my outrage.
Well, totally. I mean, this is only four seasons ago. So, and you know, it was just out of their press guide. You know, the prep for the week and all the news and everything. And last time they played, and it was 33-27, the Tennessee Titans won in 2017, which was not a good season. But Reese Odhiambo at left tackle, nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Jokel at left guard.
He was great.
Justin Britt.
He was good.
Justin Britt was good. Right guard, Ode Abushi.
Mm-hmm.
And your favorite of all time, right tackle, Jermaine Ifedi. How about that?
That's a who's who. Yeah. That is a who's. You had one guy, your center, in Justin Britt.
That was entirely solid.
Yeah. My goodness.
You know, and I mean, I think Britt was he a Pro Bowl? I think he was an alternate.
He's an alternate.
Yeah, to the Pro Bowl 1 year. So, I mean, he was a good player, you know.
Yeah.
But look at, I mean, you look at, we're the exact opposite of that now, right? Like, the one question mark you have is at center.
Right.
And everywhere across the board, it is solid as can be. And that's, you know, that's taking Pete's word for Brandon Schell having a really good camp. And because he was very much an upgrade from Jermaine Ifedi.
Yeah, I thought Schell played well last year. I don't think he's a Pro Bowler, but I think he was he was a guy we didn't have any complaints about. You weren't feeling like, oh, my goodness, this guy's going to get tortured this week. I think he's a solid right tackle.
Right. Well, and then on defense, by the way, there's – two guys, Bobby Wagner was of course, playing. Mm-hmm. K.J. Wright was playing then. And Jaron Reed should be here, but he's not.
Right.
He actually was a starter. But other than that, it's Sheldon Richardson, Michael Bennett. I mean, this is Cliff Averill, and then Cam and Earl. It seems like so long ago that Cam, Earl, Jeremy Lane, and Richard Sherman were starting in the defensive backfield. Seems like forever ago. And yet that was just four seasons ago.
That's amazing. And as I told you during the break, when you ran down that list of linemen, I'm surprised that Russell is still with us. I'm surprised he's still amongst the living.
That was back when he could really scramble. I mean, he could really hit the gas and get out of trouble.
He really had to.
He was running for his life.
Oh my goodness! What a boy that is great. Hey, in terms of the crowd. I know we kind of differ. You're a little hesitant to say it's going to be packed to the rafters. You're a little more uncertain. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I'm just curious of how it's going to go as far as, you know, people getting their tests and their vax cards and stuff like that, and you know, and then you're required. We're one of two states, I guess, that require any kind of mask in an outdoor setting. I believe it's us in Oregon.
I just don't know how they enforce that. I feel like that's, with all due respect to everybody that's putting these policies in place, I understand the motivation behind it, and everybody's got it, you know, they're well-intentioned. I just feel like it's window dressing. I don't know how you possibly enforce 60, whatever the max is, 68,000, right. 69,000. How do you enforce that?
Well, and the other thing you can do is just say, well, I'm sipping my beer here. You know, there's a story about a guy on a plane who put, like, a bunch of goldfish crackers out on his tray and, you know, was just slowly eating them the entire flight. So in case anybody said anything to him, he was out of the meeting. So, I don't know. You're right. You're right about that part especially. But, you know, as far as getting people in, you know, what if it's, like, the fourth person in a four-family, you know, group that's coming through and like, oh, I forgot my vax card, I don't have it. Are they going to turn them away? I mean, yeah, it's that's my only hesitation, but I sure hope so, man. I think, you know, there's so much frustration from last year, and, you know, hopefully that will be pent-up aggression that they take out on the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Cut number three, Bobby Wagner just talking about the excitement. I mean, he's a guy who knows what it's like when the building is packed and everybody's out of their mind, going bananas out there. You know, some of these guys, last year was their first year. They've got no idea what they're in store for. But in cut number three, Bobby just excited to hear the volume out there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be crazy. I think our fans are really excited to be back. We're excited to have them back. And, you know, just hearing them in the preseason game where I don't feel like there was as many people as there are going to be, you know, that day. And it's the first game and it's, you know, a big team. So it's going to be crazy. And, you know, hopefully it's as loud as I think it's going to be.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning more towards it's going to be packed. I don't know if they're setting attendance records or anything, but I think it's going to be like a regular season game pre-pandemic, that it's going to look like there aren't any empty seats. It's going to, the volume will be off the charts. I think people are going to be going nuts.
Yeah. Well, and somebody was texting in, it's been obvious on Mariner broadcast that 80% of the fans are eating at all times, pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, and I hope that, yeah, like you said, that they're frustrated from last year. Again, I just can't get over how, and maybe it's just because people weren't there, but the third down stop against Minnesota, the fourth down stop against Minnesota, the fourth and 10 completion against Minnesota, and then the fourth down touchdown throw to win the game. I mean, that's just in one game. They had the interception against Dallas,
yep,
that ended the game with Ryan Neal. They had, you know, Cam Newton getting chopped down by L.J. Collier.
Who?
Yeah, L.J. Collier made that play, man. And then let's see if we can find a Rashad Penny highlight to really stick it to Bob.
No, I don't. It's not possible.
Not there possible. Anyway.
Hey, but one more on the crowd here. This is from Pete Carroll, just talking about, in his opinion, how fans really, really do make a difference.
It was really, I don't know, just so uncomfortable last year to not share the experience with them, because the game has always been that, you know, where we do it all together. So to know now that our fans get to come and take part in it and be in this game with us and all that, it's really it's a big deal.
What do you think it's going to be like for a guy like Jamal Adams, who's already bouncing off the walls? You got to peel that. You have to peel him off the ceiling with a rake. That guy is just on 12. What's he going to do with 68,000 maniacs in the crowd?
God, that's a great question. Did you see the mic'd up segment that he had last year at the when they played the Washington football team? It's just like, where does he get the energy? And then, like, obviously it doesn't drain him, because I know it would drain me. And
be ready for a nap.
All that extra stuff, man. I guess he's going to have to get to a point where he just, I don't know. I think maybe last year he was trying to create the adrenaline. Sometimes guys will do that, and it's just automatic. I just remember just like floating off the field. Like, you couldn't even feel it. The noise in the kingdom was just like, you couldn't feel the hits. You couldn't feel anything. It was just like you had constant goosebumps because of the crowd. And especially if you happen to make a play that makes the crowd roar.
There's
nothing like it, man.
Yeah. Hey, just to help some of the listeners out who may be on the fence about what they need, or they're not sure what they need, you can have a hard copy of your vaccination card, or you can have a photo of it on your phone. So if you got a photo of it on your phone, you don't need the hard copy. You can upload your vaccine card to the Clear Health Pass in the Clear app, which we've used going into the Mariner building a few times. So the Clear app is very easy to use. You can upload your vaccine card on that. And for unvaccinated fans, what you need is proof of a negative COVID test within 72 hours of kickoff. So I guess any time after 1:25 p.m. today is when you need a negative test. So that's just to give you guys a little direction as to what you'll need to get into the building. There you go. Coming up, an emotional Russell Wilson said goodbye to a very good friend yesterday. We'll tell you what we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get a little preview of this Titans team with the voice of the Titans. Who's been there for how long, did he say? 24 years? Is that what he told us?
I think so. Yeah, I think it went back into the late 90s.
Man, he's been there for quite a while. But Mike Keith will give us a look at this team. Maybe he's got an explanation for what happened with them this past week. And by the way, just a little correction. We said, you know, proof of a negative COVID test within 72 hours of kickoff. And then I said anytime after 1:25 p.m. today. That's because Lefko wrote it on there and I'm Ron Burgundy. So I just read whatever he writes. But that was... anytime after 1:25 p.m. yesterday. So there we go. I Ron Burgundy.
Here's the problem. Yeah, no, I mean, it's radio math was involved. And it's funny. I thought you were going to firmly throw Lefko under the bus, but then you called yourself Ron Burgundy. So.
Well, because I've got a history of that. People know. You remember when we used to do updates way back?
Yeah, right.
We used to do updates, and the producers would write our updates. And Colin Paisley at the time, who used to work here, he screwed it up once. I can't remember what the name was. It was Jason Vargas, but he wrote like Justin Vargas. And I just read it. I just ran through it and read it. And we got a million texts. You idiot. It's this guy. You don't know anything. You know, of course. And he thought that was hilarious. So then he would intentionally screw things up, you know, write the wrong name or write the wrong day or something just to see if I would catch it. And I would just blow right through it. That's what I do. Ron Burgundy. Just you write it. I'm going to read it.
So. Just don't tell everybody in Seattle to go bleep themselves, okay? in case Lefko writes that.
Yeah, so there you go. There you go. Just a little clarity right there for everybody in terms of getting in there. And we got people saying, you guys are crazy if you don't think this place is going to be packed. Well, first of all, I said it would be. Dave and I differ on this a little bit. He's not saying it's not going to be, but you're a little more – you're not as sure as I am. How about
right.
that?
Yeah, I'm just not sure. But
yeah, so nobody's saying, no, it's not going to be packed, and I think it's going to be bananas out there personally. So
I hope you're right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we talked about this. I think we touched on this yesterday, but Russell Wilson, you know, he's got a mental conditioning coach, his longtime friend, Trevor Moad, who passed away from cancer. And, you know, we saw Russell speaking with the media yesterday. He was really – really emotional. Cut number 5, just talking about how tough it is right now and just reflecting back on what Trevor told him.
Yeah, yeah, this may be tough for me to talk about, but I think about the first time I met Trevor. I was a kid coming from Wisconsin, and I was knocking on the doors of IMG trying to get in. You know, I was ready to get ready for training. And he had all these great players down there and everything else. And you know, he's the first guy I meet. And we go into his office and me and him sit down. And he goes, you know what I hear about you? And I said, what's that, Trip? He goes, I hear you're going to be great. I said, yeah, I'm going to be great. He goes, you know why? I said, I know why. And I said, do you know why? I asked him. And he goes, yeah, I know why. Your mind.
You could hear how emotional he was there. I mean, this is somebody who he referred to as his best friend, somebody he's obviously incredibly close to, who's had an impact on his life. And one more from Russell, cut number 6, just talking about how Trevor helped him get through everything, including some of the lower moments in his life.
And so from that moment, ever since, you know, he's been my best friend. You know, we spent so much time together. Do the highest of the highest moments to some of the lowest moments, to the moments of winning Super Bowl, to the moment not winning it, unfortunately. He's always been there for me. You know, he's a guy who always gave me perspective and gave me knowledge and insight. And when we didn't win, I went down to San Diego and he called me that night or the next morning. And after the Super Bowl, we didn't win. And he said, how you doing? I said, you know, the sun still comes up in the morning, Trev. The sun still comes up in the morning. And he said back to me, he said, you're a winner. You're a winner. I believe in Russell Wilson. I believe in number 3. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, I mean, you can just hear it in his voice, man. And it's, listen, I don't, as far as a mental conditioning coach. I've obviously never had one. I could probably use one. But he said he's his best friend, more importantly. And that's somebody he's – sorry, Frank's squeaking his toy here in the background. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting. If there's anybody who can sort of deal with that kind of thing, I can't even imagine what it would be like to lose your best friend. And you wonder, everybody responds to things like that completely differently. There's no telling. But if anybody's sort of just built to almost use it as a moment of inspiration and, hey, I'm going to, it sounds cliche, but I'm going to go out there and do this for Trev. I'm going to go out, you know what I mean? I know it sounds a little trite, but I could see Russell turning this into something that works for him, while dealing with that grief. I'm just kind of curious how he's going to respond. And if I had to bet, I would bet it would be on the positive end.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think he's going to be thinking about this for a long time. And Trevor Mudd, I was just looking, through his profile, and he's worked with Derek Jeter. Remember Michael Johnson, the Olympic sprinter?
Yeah.
Coaches like Jimbo Fisher, and really interesting concept and idea. And I always say, like Pete Carroll, I wish I would have had Pete as a coach. I just think it would be interesting. I had some good coaches, man. No question about it. But, now, you have the mental health coaches. You have, the trainers and the weight. What do they have, like 3 or 4 different guys in the weight room that are working with guys? And, but really the most important thing is your mind.
Yeah.
We talk about that all the time, Bob. Like, oh, this guy can't get out of his own head. Or, we talk like guys like Kikuchi. A little bit, or some of the rookies that come in, and how they're thinking. It's just, it's really important. And good job by Russ not breaking down there, man. I thought from the very beginning he was gonna, but you could clearly see that even though he didn't burst into tears, that this really meant a lot to him. And I can see where he would take this as some kind of a motivation.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully, obviously thoughts go to Trevor Moad and his family. I don't know what his family situation is, wife, kids, or anything like that, but yeah. Anybody, any friend, any associate of his, you're pulling for them and thinking
sad.
Of them, and certainly Russell in this situation. So we'll see how that plays out this weekend. Meanwhile, Titans play-by-play man Mike Keith is going to join us next. He'll give us a closer look at what this Titans team is made of, get some explanations as to what happened against the Cardinals. All of that is coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.